It's already going. It's on. It's once I hit that button, it's there's no turning back. We are live, folks. Monday night, Big Footy Tiger Cast. Hope you're all doing well. We're waiting a minute because someone else was jumping on.
No, we'll just go.
Oh, we'll just go. Yeah. No. Well, we could be joined by Grok and CB later potentially, but that's okay. We'll roll with what we've got at the moment. EJ and I are happy to steer the ship. EJ, welcome, mate. Loving the background, the green shoots.
The green shoots. These are real green shoots, not Carlton green shoots.
Oh, isn't that some type of discussion point?
Yeah.
And, I mean, we can probably throw Melbourne into the mix and maybe even West Coast if we wanted to.
Yeah. I tell you what, it's a good time to have already started your rebuild properly.
And we were hot onto this pretty early, weren't we? That as painful as it obviously was last year, that we often spoke about the timing of it couldn't be any better, provided you get the picks right. Yeah. And I would say that it looks like we've gotten three of them right so far. And obviously there's a few more to play out in the VFL, but they're looking okay too. But yeah, it's when you start to look at how badly they're going, I all of a sudden don't feel so bad about what we're putting up at the moment.
Yeah, 100%.
Speaking of that, we may as well get stuck straight into that side of things because I've got that down as the first couple of discussion points. The first one I'll bring up, the weekly Death Ride North Melbourne chart. There's a video dropping on this tomorrow as well if you want to hear me rant and rave a little bit. But the North Melbourne Death Ride chart with the little Grim Reaper with his yellow sash on. Thank you, Jones Racing. Another loss added to the North Melbourne chart. So they've lost back-to-back games. Sydney getting the job done pretty comfortably. I actually missed a little bit of this game, but it sounded like they got them done in basically a quarter. They just put the foot down and smoked them. So now North Melbourne up to three total losses, ladder position 13th, and EJ, we've currently got pick number 6 from them. So we've got, 4-6, I think it is. So it's creeping into the top 5 territory, and they've got Gold Coast Suns this week in Adelaide who are absolutely flying.
They are absolutely flying, and the Gold Coast Suns may come up in discussion later on, just quietly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, and the Gold Coast Suns look really, really good. So
they do. It's a good time, though. It's a good time. I mean, North fans obviously thought that, and they still might bounce back. And I thought they were trajecting the right way as well. But
yeah.
A lot of the knocks seem to be on their back line in particular, are just leaking goals.
Yeah. I mean, I really thought against Melbourne that I saw a lot of signs that were there. And to be honest, yes, they did get bullied a bit, but I still see patches from North. And we all know, and we keep talking about it, you got to get 40 to 60 games into the kids and all that sort of stuff. So it's not throw the bathwater out yet. As we talk about with our side, there's going to be inconsistencies. They're going to have their good weeks. Let's just hope that there's more inconsistency than good weeks this year for our sake.
We need them to have their good weeks against, like, top four sides. Yes, so it still doesn't get them a win.
Yeah.
I did have a bit of a chuckle seeing some comments from their supporters saying Caleb Daniel doesn't deserve to play, like doesn't deserve to be wasting his time playing here and stuff like that. I'm like, oh God, they're not happy. But, you know, there's a level of expectation when you start to put a list together, some time and develop and things like that. But yeah, so potentially they could be staring at 3 losses in a row, and we could be by the end of round 5 looking at a top 5 pick, and there's a long way to go. But it's the start that we were hoping for.
Yeah, pretty much.
The other point I wanted to mention quickly before we get stuck into the Brisbane game is I put a video up about this today, and I know most of you might have seen it, but if you haven't, Louis Callaway, son of Duncan Callaway, had a ripper game for Sturt on the weekend in the Sandford under 18s. He was best on ground by a country mile. He was the cleanest and the most composed with ball in hand. Finished the game with 33 disposals, 1 goal, 7 marks, 6 tackles, 8 clearances, 5 inside 50s, and looked really, really nice out there. And I know there's the age-old Sandford's not the same as Coates League, and there's an element of that, but we can only judge on what we see. And he's actually incrementally improved over the last 3 weeks, which has been really good. So I think he had 22 touches last week, up to 33. His next step has to be to try and get into the Sturt seniors. So I'm not sure how far away from that he would be. That's kind of the next big one. And then if you can handle yourself there, then your draft stocks start to rise. But yeah, he's honestly impressed in particular this game just gone, EJ. And if, you know, people want to know where does he figure in the draft rankings, I'm probably not so good at judging that. But if I was to have a stab at the dark, I'd say at the moment he might be end of second, early third. but I think he's gradually progressing up that list as the weeks go on, which is really nice.
Yeah, right. So is it Louis, not Lewis, is it?
That's what the commentators say. Maybe they've dudded me for 3 weeks in a row now. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But
well, if you haven't got a little bit of Louis, whoa, in the background music, I'll be disappointed.
Maybe we can do that.
I haven't seen it yet.
Maybe we can do that on draft night. We'll get that keyed up because if he comes good. And there's another game in the Sandfill as well, to Noah's point. Jack Lees, he had 2 goals, 21 disposals. I haven't looked at the rest of the stat sheet because I'm going to watch the game hopefully later on to cut up his highlights. But that's back-to-back games now that he's kicked 2 goals, playing on a half forward line. And he's an underager as well, so this is his first year of under-18s. So he obviously gets another crack next year for the 2026 draft. But I think off natural projection, he's probably been touted to be a bit higher than what Callaway has been from the start. And interestingly, EJ, this is why Grock wasn't so worried about not getting Jagger Smith, because Lees can kind of do the same kind of things, maybe not at the same volume, but gets the ball, uses it well, has good goal sense. So yeah, it's going to be very fascinating to keep tracking him as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Callaway should make the state squad, I think so, for sure. So, yeah, that's just a little bit of an update on some of our father-son picks coming through. So, yeah, jump on the YouTube page after this when you get a chance, guys, if you want to see Callaway's highlights. Pretty good stuff. But
Rocky's
we'll jump
actually,
in.
Rocky's actually got a pretty good handle on that sort of stuff too. He's from up this way, so.
Yeah, I'm with Rocky. I'm absolutely with him. So he should make the 18 state squad. And that's another good telltale sign. Like, if he's starting to do well in games like that, surrounded by quality players and against quality players, then you start to move up the order a little bit more. But yeah, all looking good there. Anyway, we'll get on to our Richmond game that we had on the weekend, because we've got a bit to get through. Brisbane, unfortunately, defeated Richmond by 28 points, 18-10, 118 to 13-12, 90. Goal kickers, and just take note of these names when we're talking about goal kickers in a game we kicked 90 points in. Lawler 2, Seth Green 2, Steely Green 2, Seth Campbell 2, Banks 2, Armstrong 2, Taranto, Lynch and Blight 1 each. Without going any further than that, EJ, I think that's a super positive sign that we've got these youngsters coming in and kicking these multiple goals to get us to 90. And I think realistically, not many of us maybe thought we were going to get to 90. And when you consider that last year, we only kicked a score over 82 once with a more experienced side, to come out and do that against the reigning premiers, when at one point our backs were up against the walls, but they fought through it and then outscored them 7-3 after being 51 points down or whatever it was, I think is a super effort, and you can't not be dishappy with that.
You've got to be happy with that. I am going to put one little dampener on it before we get into all the positives, and mm-hmm. that is there is no doubt that Brisbane took their foot off the gas. But
for sure, for sure.
But the fact is if we hadn't have kept our heads up and fought it out, it wouldn't have happened. So we did that. So, you know, there's many positives to talk about. Jones Racing actually sent me a tweet from some bloke called Toby. Goes along with your point on the goals. Only one of the 13 goals Richmond scored on the weekend was scored by a player who's played for Richmond pre-2023.
That's crazy, isn't it? It's not that long ago. It's 2 years.
Oh, no. So that's a crazy stat. So, that's fantastic.
It is. It's really good signs as we welcome CB. Jeez, he's got the guns out. My goodness, he must be happy.
Just in time to copy my votes. Yeah.
No, I had some Mick from Roxbury internet problems. If anyone knows of a cheap $11,000 computer I could get,
I'm sure we can hook you up. Steve Austin. Crack. Right on, Sam.
I literally just got back, and then there's internet problems, and I was literally about to log in, and the missus turned the modem off, and I was like, fuck. So anyway,
blaming the wife.
I did some issues as well, actually.
She did.
The other interesting stat, and I know Jones Racing loves this one too, it's the expected score stat. So the game was actually technically a lot closer, because Brisbane scored, I think, 13 goals, 1 from set shots, which is maybe somewhat to do with us giving up some easy entries and things like that. But yeah, based on expected score, I think we only lost by about 4 to 8 points or something wild like that. And EJ, your point is still absolutely right, that at various stages, Brisbane did take their foot off the pedal. Yeah. But at the same time, kind of what you're alluding to, we were in a similar spot the week before against St Kilda, and we rolled over and they tripled the score almost.
Correct.
Whereas this time we fought it out, which is exactly what you want to see. And I think, at the end of the day, if we were offered 28-point losing margin at the start of that game, we were going to take it, because you've got to give credit to Brisbane as well. They're at the peak of their powers, and they sliced us up when they had to and caused all the damage. And hopefully some of our young kids learn a bit from that, because they're playing super football. And it's no shame to get beaten by the reigning premiers, I can assure you.
No. So a couple of notes, generalised notes before we get into individual players. What I noticed, and it went deep into the game, is how well the young Cubs are celebrating with each other. Even though they're down 6-8 goals or whatever, they do something good, they're celebrating. So there is a real connection. And that goes to that. My second piece is the connection's actually improving. There was late in the game in Q4, Taranto had it on the half-forward flank, and he hit that kick right across to Banks coming from the wing into the forward 50. We wouldn't have looked for that kick a couple of weeks ago. So the actual connection, everything's going to happen slowly, and sometimes we're not going to notice it, but there was some really positive general team signs that I noticed on the weekend.
Jeff Patterson, there's going to be a flex coming later on when we discuss a certain topic. So there is a flex coming, don't you worry about it. Because apparently I've joined the mother's club of someone think of the children group tonight. So there'll be opinions shared.
I don't know what this is about. Anyway, that's just me. Or do I?
You will. Oh, really? Neither do I.
Oh, I thought I knew it was about, and then maybe I now I'm not so sure. Oh, well, we'll see how this pans out. Dr. Evil lookalike. But no, you're right about the celebrating small things. It kind of reminds me of peak Dylan Grimes when someone punches the ball out or does something. Dylan Grimes in the background, fist in the air, celebrating. Like, that's the kind of good team morale, team building stuff. And it is really good to see it, which is really good to see. I'll go through some of the players' stats quickly, and then we'll get CB's thoughts on it all. Hopper led the way, 32 disposals, 5 marks, 4 tackles, 8 clearances. Taranto, 29 disposals, 2 marks, 5 tackles, 6 clearances, and a goal. I want to pause there because I think if we're going to offer criticism of players, I think it's only right that we go the other way and offer praise when they do the right things. And I think Taranto and Hopper were one of our probably best 2 to 3 mids on the ground for the game. They really led the way for the young kids. And yeah, they probably still attended more center bounces than we maybe all wanted by the end of the game. But they worked their ass off. They were effective. And I'm super pumped for Taranto getting that goal as well. It just shows how dangerous he is up forward. So I do want to heap praise on them, because we are looking for the leaders to step up and do things and guide these young Cubs. And I felt like they did do that more so than what they did any other in the last couple of weeks.
Can I just put my hand up? The reason I'm wearing a singlet, I've just literally come out of a 50-minute sauna session and I'm dying. I am still sweating my absolute nads off. Just say it's enough. If anyone wearing a white
coat. Enough about you. Let's talk about Richmond. Let's keep going. Well, just with those
I'm copping some heat, bro. If you read the comments, I'm copping some heat.
He's copping some heat. It's good.
Good. Turns up late, thinks he can just waltz in, interrupts the flow of the program, and then starts talking about himself. Yeah, have a spell. Come on, man. I mean, seriously. But with the senior guys, right, I actually made a note on the back, and it ties into these two senior guys and another senior guy, K-Mac, right? Didn't have the greatest day, got the tactical sub out. When it's not your day, right, how can you impact for the side? What can you do if you're not having your greatest day with the ball in hand, right? Pressure acts. I put a little dot next to Taranto because he was second in our pressure acts with 20 pressure acts to go with his disposals. He also second for contested possessions with 13. K-Mac, 26 pressure acts and 8 tackles.
So I didn't know that. Okay.
Yes. He mightn't have had the greatest day disposal-wise, but he kept trying to impact for the team in that way. And just on the contested possessions, a young bloke in his first season – who's been spending most of his time up forward, was our number one.
Really?
Law had 14.
Contested possessions?
Yep.
Shit. Yeah, there you go.
And he led us, and Lawler led us for score involvements as well.
He showed again, CB, why we took him at number one, didn't he? The way he uses the ball, it's exciting to watch. That you just feel like he's always going to make you pay. He's going to hit a good target by foot or a good releasing handball by hand. You can't help but enjoy what Sammy Lawler's doing. And if he can get 24 disposals more often, that'd be fantastic.
Mate, I've just been done for a call on the comments for male menopause.
he's still making it about himself. Just concentrate on what you've been asked, son.
Julie's rattled him.
She's absolutely nutted me. Lawler, if you look at his numbers, if you compare, and I think I sent you guys a screenshot of his numbers, round four, Sam Lawler versus last year, round four, Harley Reid. His numbers are actually rolling Harley Reid's, and everyone was talking about Harley Reid as a rock star. This kid, my goodness, it feels like we're playing him the right way. We're managing him correctly, and we're just going to gradually increase his minutes in the middle. Like, how good was it that he was actually going in the middle with the big dogs and learning? I mean, it's actually terrific coaching. It's exactly what we need. So, it's brilliant. Even, Armstrong, I'm glad even though I thought he was due for a spell last week, at the end of last week, I'm glad we persisted with it because he's having moments. You know, two games out of four, multiple goals. He should have had three in the third quarter if he didn't miss the sitter. So, yeah, and Luke Traynor just keeps on keeping on, doesn't he? He's an absolute ripper.
Yeah.
Absolute.
What about this one?
With Armstrong.
Oh, go.
With Armstrong, yeah, he had those two goals and, you know, the good involvement. And those, but then there was that next play a little bit later on in the fourth quarter where on the wing he was in a contest, great use of the body to have the ball on the sort of inside of the teammates coming through. You know, that body work, that's not an 18-year-old kid's body work. That's really smart football. So I think what we've got, apart from a talented player, is someone who understands how to use their body from the start, which is amazing. It's really, that's an extra gift.
And how good was his tackle on Harris?
Yep.
Yeah. Look, it was borderline maybe not holding the ball, but it was good anyway, and we'll take it. And I think to your point, EJ, about the body work and the smarts, I think it sounds like from what I've heard, that's the one thing that's actually impressed the club internally as to how early they're seeing it. They always thought they would see it at some stage. I don't think they thought they would see it at the level they're seeing it right now. So he's obviously just been like a sponge, I guess, taking on everything that's being taught to him, which is really, really good. But Dave the Dasher with a ripper stat here that Lawler is equal first in the whole league for score assists in the entire competition. In his first four games, I mean, I know we want to see him in the midfield plenty, but it's hard to disagree with the fact that, yeah, the coaches are obviously playing him in the right manner when he's doing things like that. Can he get a rising star nom twice? Can we get him another one?
You can see, there's going to be a game where Armstrong does kick a bag of three or four. When we play some of the lesser
teams. A bag is not three or four.
In today's football,
is five officially the bag?
It used to be six. Apparently now it's four.
Four's the new eight.
Four's the new eight.
It's math, mate.
But you're right with Armstrong, because when you work that hard, the reward eventually comes, right? And that might be hard for a young kid to wrap his head around, but he still keeps plugging away. I've seen a few people asking if he's injured. I think it was just cramp at the end. I haven't heard otherwise, unless someone else has let us know, but I believe that it was cramp. Some other players I want to give a shout out to: Jaden Short, 25 disposals, 9 marks, 433 meters gained. Not on the higher echelon of what he would usually do, but it was still a pretty solid game on that front. Lawler, we spoke about, 24 disposals, the 2 marks, 4 tackles, and clearance. But James Trezise, 21 disposals, 4 marks, 2 tackles, 1 clearance. I thought that was probably his best game for a while. And I think what's really important to note here, he's probably getting to a stage where he's played the most consecutive senior football that he has ever. Like, he's always either been in and out, or he's copped a niggle or an eye, and he's had to go out and miss games of football. So now he's got a really, really good block behind him. He's growing in confidence on the wing. Are we liking what he's doing there?
That was clearly his best game. I was critical last week because he was indecisive, and I actually wrote down when it was in tight on the forward flank and there was Campbell out there for his, was outside the contest. He grabbed the ball, bang. There was no indecision this week. He was pulling the trigger and he wasn't, there was no fear there this week. It was easily his best game. I don't know if he's locked down the spot. As I said, I reckon he was pretty ordinary last week. But that, let's make that the baseline. Let's make that the baseline because, you know, that he was really good.
But, Ege, you've got to remember, this is going to be the high-low nature of the season we're going to have. We're going to have games like this where we see, if we had to kick straight, in reality it should have been a sub-10-point game, sub-10-point loss. We had to kick properly, right? And then next week we're liable to put in an absolute stinker and get done by 60 and go, well, where was, you know,
That's fine, CB, but it's not about the result. It's about how we get the result, right? Whether we win or we lose. Last week, he was hesitant and he didn't make decisions. And then when he did, it was too late and it put other people under pressure. And I talked about Traynor making the decision and whether it was right or wrong, he committed to it. Trezise did on the weekend was he made the decision and he committed. If it's a mistake, it doesn't matter. But the thought, the way that the thought is processed has got to stay like that. You've got to make the decision. You're allowed to make mistakes, but you've got to make the decision. Hesitation in the today's game with the speed it goes at, you just can't have it.
Yeah, like I said, I just think they're in a learning phase. They're going to come up against different challenges each week. So we've just got to be a little bit understanding of some games as opposed to you cold, hard bastard.
Just quickly on this one from Peter Tiggs. Had a bit of a rough day, to be honest, with his migraines and stuff. So he was pretty much cooked midway through the day. Otherwise, yeah, he would be on. But he did jump on the fan cam on the weekend. If you want to see his thoughts on the game, feel free to check that out. But yeah, he just had a bit of a rough day. Ben Miller is the other one I want to give a shout out to, and probably the back line in general. I wanted to highlight Ben specifically because I think if we're talking about bodies of work again, he's had a really solid 3 or 4 weeks. I know we've lost a couple of games by biggish margins. I feel like it would have been a lot worse had he not been there. His ability to run back with the flight of the ball and get a timely spoil in, comes off his man and all kinds of things. And even on the game just gone, he went at 100% efficiency as well. So you literally can't ask for much more than that. And I think he's showing how well he's playing is compared to what he was doing middle of last year, where he was ranked in that top 5 or 10% of winning contests again. And it's really good to see.
Yep.
Good chat. No, that's all right.
Hey. doesn't shut up and talks about himself. You give him space and he gives you nothing.
You're the VB right now.
I'll tell you what, there were two or three players, though, that we've been giving a lot of positives. There were two or three players I thought, gee, I wanted more. I know they played Sonzi out of position, but, mate, you've got to do more than 9 possessions when you get given a chance. I don't care where you are on the ground. And Tom Lynch, I know he's coming back from, you know, a fairly long time out, but there wasn't much there on the weekend. What Taranto and Hopper did in the middle and what Vlosten and Broad are doing down back, we need that from Lynch up forward to help balance out the kids and help give them that room and space to develop. We need more from Lynch. What do we think of that?
Can I just say that Nathan Broad, if you're watching, I love you. I love you, Broadie. That's it. That's the comment.
The Lynch one's a really difficult one because I think you look at the impact that Armstrong and Blight had, you would have to say it was more profound later in the game. So because they weren't as active and involved early, it's easy for opposition defenders to double team and just shut him out completely. I don't know how much more we'll get out of him until they all start to produce, you know, more even games across 4 quarters. But I think he still helped. I'd rather have him out there than not have him out there because he does demand attention. But I just think it's easy for opposition to double team him early days. And that's why I really love that we were lowering our eyes late in the game to hit up Armstrong and to hit up other players to actually make people accountable.
So anyone watch Uze's presser?
Yeah.
Okay. We all agree our last 40 minutes was fantastic football to watch, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Uze and his presser, I could swear, said that he stuck Sonzi in the middle in that last part of the game to give him a run. He was talking about giving other guys a go.
He said it, and I
get around the middle.
I don't think he did.
Yeah, I this is the thing. I don't recall it either. And I'm going.
And the centre bounce attendance stats suggest he didn't either. So yeah. Maybe he sent the message out to do it and it didn't eventuate, because I remember hearing that thinking, I don't reckon that actually happened.
Thank you. I was wondering if I was coming stupid or not. Thank you.
No.
Is that a rhetorical question?
Oh, come on, man. You're better than that.
You keep leaving the door open. I'll keep walking through.
I know.
The other player, speak about a few more players. Seth Campbell. Now, CB, I don't know whether you want to go with this publicly or not, but the sneaky question you posed to us in the chat about Seth Campbell.
Hear me out. Right now, would you say he's in the 22 or the 40? But Seth Campbell would have to be in some All-Australian considerations right now.
No.
I think he would be.
Mate, let's get half a season under our belt before we go with this shit, can we?
Oh, here you are behind the scenes. Oh, Kane Corns takes a wonderful, he's such a wonderful, insightful thing. The moment I say anything on the show and you shut me down. Outrageous.
He's just trying to show some love for Seth.
I'm saying right now, I reckon he's in a conversation for AA, even in a squad of 40. I think he's in. He's
playing players in similar position. He's kicking two goals a game. It's an interesting point.
But also, look at his pressure acts. He's actually doing more than just scoring. He's
blitzing. I was just about to agree with you there. He was number 3 for us for pressure acts on the weekend with 18. And the other thing is that his disposals count is slowly creeping up. He was up to 15, which is starting to get into handy areas for a flanker pocket sort of guy.
What I loved about his game, there was probably one moment in particular where he had the ball, he got it sort of wing half forward, backed his pace to weave in between two Brisbane players and then hit someone up inside 50. I just loved that he had the confidence to do that. And, you know, at the end of last year, he wasn't maybe looking like a player that was going to be, 2025 is going to arrive, but he's definitely going in the right direction. He's doing some good things.
Is he eligible for the Rising Star still?
I've got no idea.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure what the qualification is. If anyone knows that in chat, let us know. Is Seth Campbell still eligible? That's a very good question.
Well, last year against for Adelaide.
I'm going to stick up for CB here.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. You actually called Campbell last year quite clearly. He was your boy very early on. So good on you, CB. I'm here for you. I support you all the way.
Mate, so you're jumping on just like I've got McAuliffe, our boy.
No. I'm not going to take your player. I'm just giving you credit for calling it out. He's not eligible.
The last player I want to get to before we jump into the VFL, Jacob Blight obviously started or played more forward this week and ruck as opposed to defender than part-time ruck. I was pretty happy with how he went up forward. He got a goal, which was some nice reward. But what I love most, EJ, is how strong and how fiercely he attacks contests aerially. Because if he doesn't mark it, it typically comes to ground. And he actually recovers the ball really well at ground level too, which he showed a couple of times in the weekend. So I think in a very short space of time, he's actually maybe reinvented himself and given us something else up forward. I think he might be a good pairing with Lynch.
Well, the good thing is what is he, 23, 24? So he's got the mature body. So physically, yes, he is imposing himself on the contest and causing damage whether or not he actually clunks it. So, what did you start at, CP?
Free money.
Yes. He's a good Robin to Lynch's Batman as far as a mature body goes down there, absolutely. And if we need a second ruck, we know it's there. And that gives us, again, more flexibility.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Someone asked about McAuliffe. I don't know whether to... So I don't know how true it is, but I had received a message, not from the same person who told me about the initial injury, which was spot on. This is from someone else. that apparently the scan has not gone the way we had hoped, and they've heard potentially 4 or 5 weeks. I don't know how true it is, but that's just something that filtered through to my inbox that I thought I would share as I watch this space. May not happen, so I'm not going to go with this one being 100% because I don't know. But yeah, watch that space, I suppose. Hopefully not true, though, because poor timing, because he was obviously doing very, very well for the VFL until that happened. But speaking of the VFL, another very, very good win from the VFL boys, 3 in a row, knocking off the Lions by 22 points, 12-13-83 to 8-15-63. Razzo, 3 goals. Yassine, 2 goals. Jonty Fall, 2. Sims, Ryan, Rioli, McKenzie, and Elgar with 1 each. The big thing I took from that is the talls for us were really, really good. And for those who didn't watch the game, this next comment will come as a sheer surprise to you all, I promise you. Samson Ryan was genuinely basically best on ground for us. He had 23 disposals, 9 marks. He was actually clunking them all over the park. He probably had to kick another one of the goals. He had, I think, 1-3 in total. Needed to convert another one of those, I reckon, to make it a really good day. But he did really well. Campbell Gray, another good game down back. 4 marks, 2 tackles. But even though he's not having 9 or 10 marks, his body contact on plays when they're trying to mark it is causing a lot of spillages, which is really handy. And Sims and Jonty Fall, lads, I know we're looking a little bit into the future here. I can't wait until Sims, Fall, and Armstrong are in the same forward line, just smashing blokes week after week when the ball's in the air. You will not want to be a defender if the ball's set up high, I can tell you that.
Yeah, well, you know, as claiming is more of one boy, Sims has been mine from the start. I've said he's a mongrel. He's good on the weekend. Let's go. Dim Sims, get him in.
He was very good.
Let's all talk about Razzo. Dead set.
We have to get him in somehow.
If we do not take him in the mid-season draft, I'll out of my own pocket pay for a big truck of chicken shit and put it at the punt road door. It is so fucking
This is
obvious.
A confession. This is a confession. We now know who did it.
I'm not getting that. I'm not getting that right. I'm just saying he's so – just like Davidson was so obvious and we're all talking about him before the mid-season draft last year. Need a forward. They're all out injured and we don't go Davidson. For God's sakes – can we just do the obvious thing this year and take this kid? Because he's just lighting it up. So anyway.
3 goals from 11 disposals. The problem is though, CB, we haven't got a spot. So we're going to have to actually manufacture something to make it happen.
Well, Dion Prestia, mate. That'll be the spot.
Gee, you've just thrown shot Bambi just straight under the... It's gone. Prestia out.
We don't have enough.
He's from the Graham Richmond School of squad management, mate. He's very, very cutthroat.
I'm just saying, look and no one loves meatball more than me, right? But I'm just saying.
Yeah, we can tell.
Like,
probably should have led with that. Should have led with that one.
Pass the baton like Grigger did. It's common sense.
And look, and in all seriousness, I think they're, if his injury is as bad as what a few of us have heard and it's not healing as well as it should, then I think that becomes a genuine chance. What you've got to let him do it on his own terms, though. He's obviously been a massive part of our club and our success. But, yeah, it's going to be a fascinating, well, let's call it 6-7 weeks to see how the rest of it plays out. Because barring a long-term eye, that is the only other way. Because the only other thing I could think of is if Gibkiss's healing doesn't happen as well as we like and we want to be ultra-conservative again, he might be on the LTI list potentially. If it doesn't, like we know Serple's very conservative with Gibkiss because he's had 2 major traumatic leg injuries. That's the only other probability I can see.
I'm going with my Presti call. I don't want to contemplate the other. <Let's die. laughs>
No, yeah. Anyway, but Razzo's a gun, and I agree. We have to. Now, here's the secondary question. If we were to take him, like Campbell and Steely Green aren't going half bad themselves. Would he even get in straight away?
Not straight away.
Just purely as backup.
Backup. I'm sure there's going to be injuries during the year. And I mean, look at Banks. You know, Banks gets knocked out for a week, creates an opportunity for someone. Like, things will happen. Opportunities will. I mean, I'm expecting Fall and Sims to play at some stage because 100%. Naturally there's going to be some injuries occur. So, you know.
And I almost skipped to the next segment without mentioning Josh Smiley in the VFL. What a mistake that would have been. 10 disposals, I think it was, he had. And I don't know if you guys watched it, but for anyone who did, and it's his releasing handballs. It sounds very silly and minor, But when you look at what Lawler does with his handball, so he just holds on for that half a second longer and gets someone into space. Smiley does the exact same thing. I don't think he missed the target from memory, maybe one, if that, with his kicking and handballing. Was strong at the contest. He did give away a couple of free kicks at the start. He was a bit eager. But he'll be definitely better for the run. I don't think he'll play seniors this week. It's just really shit timing that the VFL team have got. Well, it's a bye, but there's actually a game on our team, Richmond versus the AFL Academy players. So I don't actually know any other information on when that game is, if it's streamed, nothing. So if anyone knows, please let me know because I can share it. Oh, there you go, 100% efficiency. Yeah, he just looks menacing and he's going to slot in very nicely once he is fully fit and ready to go.
But again, Uzo was quick to say in the case of Smiley, he's going to need to play three or four games to get some form up to be considered. So, the kid hasn't played any real preseason, so I'm not against him doing a little bit of time in the VFL to get his numbers up.
Yeah, and he only played about a half or just over a half anyway, so he's got to obviously increase the workload, thing anyway before he can come back in.
A question on Morris Tripp. So Rioli Jr. got pulled from the game. Did he kick the goal and then got pulled? Did he?
Kicked the first goal of the game. Didn't do too much else amongst that and then got dragged. Not dragged, but he got subbed out at about half time because he was a carryover player for AFL.
There you go.
Which I think he did the same thing again the week prior. So at some point, he'll have to play a full game, I imagine. But in that first opening 10 minutes, he actually looked really lively. Like I said, got that first goal and that was it. A few people asking about Smiley as well being injured because Batchelor did, the way he worded his press conference was that he had a niggle. Now, not to say, I'm not calling Batchelor a liar. I think he might have got a little bit confused, hopefully, because, someone that we know spoke to Smiley himself after the game and he said he got through fine.
And hopefully, but Uzo's even talking about it, saying, they're going to build his game time up. He wasn't saying what the kids got. So, don't know where that come from. I'll back in the
came from Batchelor.
Nah, Batchelor's wrong. What would he know?
Well, no, you know where it came from. Mm-hmm. Don't say you don't know where it came from. Came from Batchelor.
Yeah, you got it wrong. Well, Uzo's bigger than him and better than him, and said he's all right.
And on this as well, quickly, Jasper Elgar is awfully close to playing, I reckon. He should have had 5 goals. He missed a couple of sodas. If we're talking about bodies of work, he is in a better space than what Rioli is currently for that similar spot if one was to open up. But anyway, I'm sure we can have that argument in a couple of weeks, potentially. But let's push on to the round 5 game against Fremantle, who are coming off a 16-point win against the Bulldogs. We're obviously playing in Barossa over in Adelaide for Gather Round. So no home ground advantage for anybody, which makes, I think it actually gives us a bit more hope, I think, to be honest. I'm really dreading this. We'll talk about team selection first.
Yes, we shall.
So I actually thought the Bolter suspension ended next week. So that's the first issue I had.
Don't backtrack now.
I will not backtrack because there's a video doubling down on it coming out tomorrow. Noel Bolter is available for selection this week, and this is going to be the one that everyone's going to have an opinion on. I don't think he should be picked this week, and it's nothing to do with his incident. It's nothing to do with punishment. It's nothing to do with anything else. The only thing it's to do with is the words that Adam Uze used in his press conference post-game. He spoke about selection integrity. Now, integrity, when you talk about that, is a really, really strong and powerful word and has a big meaning behind it. And I just don't think putting a player in after 6 weeks of not playing a game, despite who he is, I don't think that has integrity written all over it. When you've got someone like Campbell Gray, and I'm not saying that Campbell Gray's played better than Noel Bolter or is better than Noel Bolter, but he's been busting his ass and he's at a point now where a lot of people are saying he deserves a go. So if there's going to be a change.
We've got so many participation award supporters out there. Smiley.
That's not a participation award. But then Uze is going against his word with no integrity. Selection integrity, CB.
He's a premiership player, premiership centre half back. If Tony Lockett's available, if Tony Lockett had sat 6 weeks out, would you go, plugger, probably need to spend 2 weeks in the Magoos, or you put him straight in the full forward in the square?
I think it's also a little bit about where we're at as a team, though, CB, because we've actually got a moment in time right now where we can set a standard, we can set a benchmark as to what selection integrity looks like. We can actually promote good work rate and good reward for effort to get selected and put into the side. And he hasn't...
We rubbed him out for 6 weeks.
Yeah, but he hasn't had a chance to prove on the park in a game situation to come back in.
He's got a body of work. And the thing is, right, because at the end of the day, we've got to pick our best 22, and he's in our best 22, and he's fit and ready to go. And this is what... I'll tell you what playing Bolter does. All of a sudden, we've got a double threat in our team. With Blight and Bolter, we're, depending on matchups, we now have two blokes that can swing between back, forward, and ruck, taking a lot of pressure off a lot of people. So what
I don't disagree with that at all. I think that's a very handy thing to have.
I think the timing's right. Well, as a member, I want our best 22 on a park, right? And he's done his time. He's done his 6 weeks. They've settled the financials out of thing. They've already settled the financials. So to me, if he's best 22 and he's ready to go, you actually play him because he's in our best 5-6 players in the whole club.
Can that send a wrong message, though?
No.
I don't. Like I said, this is nothing to do with the incident, punishment, court case, nothing. Zero to do with it. I think you can send a bad message. If your head coach is going to talk about selection integrity and then a guy leapfrogs everyone after not playing for 6 weeks, I reckon that can raise questions.
He's not number 42 on your list. He's probably number 5 or 4 on our list in talent-wise.
I might say something, yeah?
You guys, go on.
First of all, someone think of the children. Put your midnight
oil on, mate. No, say one thing, though. Your statement is a premiership player is worthless, right? Matt Spanger's a premiership player.
He spawned 1,000 drinking games. Well done, Matt Spanger.
Right. Matt Spanger's a premiership player. So a premiership player doesn't mean shit, right? At the end of the day, is he match fit and ready to go?
Yes.
He's match fit, is he?
Yep.
Yeah. How do you come to that conclusion?
What match did he play to get match fit in, though?
He's ready to go.
I would give him 1 week in the VFL. Oh. And it doesn't go to anything about best 22 and stuff like that. It's the fact that this is a weekend away. So with the core of the group and developing the connection and all that sort of stuff, I think getting the young kids away together is beneficial long-term and giving Noah a chance just to have a little warm-up, right, will be beneficial for him in the long-term. And then we come back to Melbourne a week later and bolt us straight in the side.
No, disagree totally. And these people saying Brain Eat deserves a game. No, he doesn't. He's not their best. He's not ahead of Miller. He's not ahead of Blight. He's not ahead of Bolter. Unfortunately for him, he's got to wait till an injury comes in. So just like when LaFau's ready, he's going to have to wait for an injury possibly and get a month worth in.
CJR's made a great point. Selection integrity probably doesn't apply to the best 10 players.
But it should. That's my 100%. Argument. But I think that's a fundamental issue. As a coach of a young club coming up through the ranks, I think it's at a complete detriment to have a rule for a quarter of the team and then a rule for everybody else. I think that sets a horrible example, to be honest.
No, it doesn't, because it shows that the club is supporting a player. They've suspended him. He's copped his weight. He's accepted it. And now we're saying, okay, you've done your time. Now we welcome you back into the best 22 and off you go. So I think it's the other way. I think they're actually supporting the bloke and doing the right thing by playing him.
I think Caleb Smith, support the bloke.
Thanks for your efforts, Caleb Smith. Off you go. Go back.
No. I think it's the other way. I think by Bolter coming in, if you can push Blight forward, it actually takes the pressure off. It's another big body forward to support Lynch, but also supports Armstrong or Bauer. Let's face it, Bauer's probably the first one out of the team. They're not dropping Harry Armstrong. So I'm just saying it gives you an extra ruck, support for Nankervis, support up the forward. It just makes so much sense.
Structurally and everything.
RFC Centre has said, if Floston or Broad were in this situation, would you bring him back for the VFL? The answer would be a no. Here's the difference. They're not in that situation because they didn't go and clock some bloke when they were on the cans at midnight at a bloody ski club on the border.
And like, if it was in the same point in time, like I think Dion Prestige should have to do the same thing if he was to come back. It's for me, it's about where we're at as a team. We're not fighting for the eight. We're not actually desperately needing a best 22 player to come back in straight away to get ourselves 4 points to make the top eight for finals. If it was that, it's a different scenario and there's a bit more at play, you can understand it. But when you've got a chance to actually set a precedent for the rest of your entire playing list, it'll far exceed when some of these other guys come back. I think it's worth consideration. But the shit point is that there's no VFL. So if he doesn't play, and there's been reports, I think Tom Morris said that he's strongly he's not playing. What I don't know is that, although I had it sort of confirmed today, so with this game that we do have on the weekend, the Richmond VFL against the Academy All-Stars, AFL players can play. I didn't really know what the rules were around that. So he will, or whoever plays, will get a game in some way. It just won't be for VFL points. So that's something still. I didn't know how that would work. Anyway, we could probably
I'm not that strong on this either way. I just wanted to throw another couple of sticks onto the bonfire. That's all. Go ahead.
But in terms of any other selections, what do we think about Bauer and Caleb Smith? Bauer obviously played sub. I'm really torn because a large part of me thinks that Blight, Armstrong and Lynch will do a fine enough job up four. Do you go with someone a bit smaller, do you reckon, to add a bit more foot speed? Like, I just didn't quite understand the method in Bauer being sub, that's all.
Would you actually almost have K-Mac as sub this week or Smith? But my only change for this week in the team is I've got Bauer out and Bolter in. It's the only change I've got. I'm backing the rest of them in.
Yeah, I'm happy to back the rest of them in, but there'd be a couple of them that would be a little bit nervous that they'd want to be pulling their finger out.
Correct. Yep, 100%.
Yeah, because we've now got the VFL players that have been starting to get a body of work. So it's almost time for those, because the changes will come over the next.
Hugo. There you go.
That's a good point. That is,
he played all right in the VFL too. Thank you, Nick.
Yes, he was very good. Really good point. Yeah. But now that we're getting the building the depth and the people in the VFL are getting a body of work behind them, there's only so long you can be in passenger in this side now.
And the best thing, the sexy thing about the VFL is by round 9 or 10, all the ACL boys are back in predominantly. Oh,
it's a different looking side in that time, isn't it? Correct. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, but it's going to be amazing. So the irony is, while we might be finish bottom four in the AFL, the resis, when they get these blokes in, we're going to actually make a fair charge.
And we're doing all right without them too. Like, full credit to the actual VFL listed boys too, who are performing at a really good level as well, and Bachelor and the coaching staff. Do we think that, is Hugo a chance? He looked a little bit of rust. The attraction factor for him is we always talk about our outside speed and how we get torched with it. He's actually one that helps fix that and adds from our perspective as well. So there's a lot of appeal there. But it would maybe have to be for a Smith. Like, if we're hypothetically going on Bolter for Bauer, if you wanted Hugo in as well, it has to be for a Smith or a Trezise, which I don't think we would do, or a Dow, which I don't think we would do.
Yeah, it's like I said, the midfield, as we discussed and we sent message over the weekend, the midfield mix is our concern. We're just too one-paced in there, and at the end of the year, it's going to have to be an area that gets addressed, getting some outside speed in that middle. So, and the one thing Freo's got, mate, when you look at their midfield, they're going to be pretty quick across the carpet for us to try and cover them, I'd suggest.
They're pretty good. Looking at their game last week, gents, Caleb Sarong had 38 disposals, Brayshaw 29. Obviously, Shea Bolton's going to go through there as well, who had a pretty good game himself. What do you do? I mean, Lockie Neal last week had 42 or whatever it was against us. It just feels like we can't shut down an opposition best midfielder now, even though we did it in round one. It just seems like we're going head-to-head, and I don't know whether we'll come out on the right side of this or not, EJ, if we let Caleb Sarong and Brayshaw and Bolton do their thing.
Brayshaw doesn't worry me. He can have 25 and it won't hurt me. I'd be concerned about Sarong getting off the leash, but, you know, who's going to look after him? Tarano and Hopper been excellent on the weekend, but they're doing their job. The third wheel in there K-Mac isn't quick enough to go with those guys. He's got the tank to go with them for long enough, but we'll get burned off from the middle. They are, as you say, they're quick in the middle. If Bolton gets in the middle and gets out the front, I don't think we've got a player on our side, bar Seth, that can sort of go with him. But how many times has Seth been in the guts?
Can I just say, if anyone boos Bolton on the weekend, you're an absolute loser. Do not boo Bolton if you're at the ground. That's just poor form.
He left for family reasons. Can't begrudge a bloke for wanting to have his kids closer to his grandparents and stuff like that. And he gave us some really good times as well. None of the guys that left us this year, none of them should be booed at all. Anyway, that's a different matter. What's interesting as well from a selection point of view on the Freo side, Luke Jackson went off with an eye and could be at risk at not playing this week. And Sean Darcy, I'm just going off what I was reading on the Freo boards, that Sean Darcy apparently still a little bit off and may not be a certainty to come back either. So they could potentially not be having one of their two main ruckmen in. There's another bloke who they have, though, whose name escapes me, that will come in if neither of them get up. But maybe there's an opportunity for Nank to get on top and assert some dominance if Jackson or Darcy don't play.
Apparently Jackson's been ruled out already. Now, did you say an eye, as in he hurt an eye or he had an injury?
No. Yeah, that one. No. Yeah, I think it was a lower eye.
He's an opposition player. You can say injury,
yeah,
as much as you want. You just can't say it about our guys.
Right, okay, I'm with you now. I think it was a hamstring injury because our super coach chat was a bit lit with that because a guy had him and he was a bit shitty that he went off. Liam Reedy, thank you, Trouter. Liam Reedy's the other one who will come in if both of those gentlemen do not get up to play. Darcy did play, I think, some form of footy on the weekend, but apparently just didn't look like it, and that's according to Freo supporters. So who knows? There, he may have to come out of necessity, but otherwise Nank might be a chance to get off the chain, hopefully.
If Darcy plays, Nank will blow him up in the first quarter.
Agree.
It would be the biggest boneheaded selection decision by Freo this year, whether or not they win the game. If you want to get Darcy right for the second half of the year, you don't bring him in and get him blown to the smithereens. It could screw his entire season. It would be hilarious if they brought Darcy in because he will get absolutely destroyed by Nank around the ground.
Yep.
And Hayden Young might be a chance of coming back as well from a hamstring injury. But where's the game won and lost? Like, Freo are a good side this year. And maybe I'm being too blinded by the fact that it's not in WA, it's in South Australia. But I don't know. There's a part of me that thinks we might give them a bit of a shake. But then, yeah, they've got a bit of talent.
It's midfield, yeah, mate. It's just, right? It's all midfield for us. Outside run, midfield. It's going to be our Achilles heel all year.
And they're first round draft pick looks really clean and classy too.
Murphy Reed. Very good.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. To me, on the weekend, Bolton started to show some signs. He was a bit more involved this week. If Freo are smart and they want to get over us early, they would put Bolton in the guts with Sarong and Brayshaw, because if they start getting a couple of clearances, they will torch us.
Mm-hmm. We won't have the speed to go with them exiting centre bounce, will we?
No.
Not even close. Yeah. We'd almost have to set up an outer ring or hang back a few metres to try and stop them from getting past us. But, yeah, well, that's going to be...
Back in our heyday, in the dimmer years, we were the best post-clearance contested side. We had that outer ring. That's what we used to have. We currently don't have that set up at the moment. And... yeah, I think we're going to get in trouble in the middle. Mind you, I think down back, I think we match up okay with them. They've got some good forwards, but I think we match up okay. Tracy's playing really well. You probably think Miller goes to him.
Our odds are 580 to Freo's $1.14 for those who are fancy a punt. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a good question from RFC about who do we put on Shea when he's in the forward line?
Probably have to be Shorty.
I don't
put him trying on.
Well, that was my first thought, but it's probably the wrong one. Just he probably hasn't got the leg speed, but I'm not sure any of them do, to be fair. The perfect play would have been Mansell. I know he played forward for us, but just for a bit of mongrel. Tom Brown.
A younger Broad. A 3 years younger Broad would have been good.
Yeah, he's just lost that yard of pace, which is understandable.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting matchup to see what we do here. Yeah, I don't mind your call, EJ, of Miller on Tracy. Amos didn't have the best of games last week, so he might potentially bounce back. But
was something amiss in his performance?
There definitely was. There definitely was. We shouldn't applaud that, should we?
Come on, bro.
EJ's gone. He's had enough. He's had enough. The other player for Freo that concerns me is Luke Ryan, who sets up so well behind the ball that if we get into the habit of dump kicking down the line, he will just have a field day. So we need to work out a plan for that as well. I'm not sure if you go full defensive tagger, but you'd like to see whether it's Armstrong or whoever just sit tight on him.
I think Bauer or Mansell. I think Mansell will be great on him. He's a junkyard dog.
But Mansell's out.
Mansell's not playing.
So, oh yeah, far out. Yes. So you threw me. I've walked off set. Yeah, and now come back. There you go. Yeah. Well, Bauer. Because he's
not playing, mate.
Bauer's not playing. Nope. He just sacked him. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying Bauer's out for Bolter.
Or Blight.
Well, I'm saying maybe Blight.
No, Blight's no, not Blight. Just like. No, he's not too slow, but I think we've got other forwards with better mobility.
Yeah. Oh. That's how it works.
All right. Well, with that said, who is the final tip, including margin, for this one? EJ?
I'm actually going to tip the Tigers by 13 points.
Yeah.
Very good. Wouldn't mind that, CB.
Bolter comes in. We get a bit more big bodies around in the forward line. Tigers by 5 points.
Tigers by 5 points. I'll split the difference and say Richmond by, let's say, 8 or 9 points. But it should be an interesting game. Like, I just hope we go into it with the same type of ferocity that we had in the later stages of the Brisbane game. And I know we're going to be inconsistent. We'll see bits and pieces here and there. But if we can just piece together some really good pressure early days, it could make things a little bit interesting. But I'm not sure. Freo coming off a shorter break potentially.
Let's go the other way too. How much pressure is on Longmuir if they do drop this game?
Yep.
I think it would definitely raise questions on their credibility as a top eight chance for sure.
Yeah.
All right, well, with that said, there's only one thing left to do, and that is...
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Oh, as we said when we started at the start of the year, this thing is going to write itself, and it just keeps delivering. What was the reason why Richmond had such a terrible free kick count for years and years and years? It was Dimmer's coaching, wasn't it?
AFL corruption.
The way we were coached.
Right. Who's got the best differential on for and against on free kicks this year? It's Gold Coast. They're panels ahead. So stick your Dimmer theory up your ass. Come on.
Come on, man.
Now, when you're – this is one of my pet hates, and this was what I noticed in the commentary on the weekend in our game, right? Dunstall was good. You know, most of them were good. All you want is for the commentator to call what's in front of them, not what they think is going to occur. Mm-hmm. Hutto.
Thank you.
Sorry?
I said thank you, because right. Yes, go on.
Right. So Lawler's got a handball away and he was being tackled at the same time, and Hutto's, oh, I'm not sure he's gotten rid of that legally. 5 seconds later, Neil is tackled, the ball spills out, he's got both arms pinned, and Neil gave it to his teammate. Seth Campbell marks the ball and he sets up for the around the corner kick and straight through the goal. Apparently he made it more difficult than it needed to be. But then Charlie Cameron does it and, oh, he's a premiership player and he's a superstar. But just call what is in front of you. Your bias that one side is good and the other side is currently crap is affecting your ability to call what is actually happening.
Mate, he was so bad. The incident where Broad hit there was a guy who went to take a mark about 15 out and Broad's caught him round the ribs. He's caught him high. Mate, it was play on. And then you see the slow-mo replay and he's nowhere near, he's not even remotely near the shoulders. And it's like, mate, what are you and the amount of times he questions just the legality of our disposal or his subtle inferences and that. And it's like, mate, can you just shut the up?
Yes, but when we start winning games, he'll question the other teams. It's a subconscious thing. It's just very annoying, that's all.
Come on, man.
Yeah. All right. Runner up this week. I mean, this just made me laugh. Which team over the past 5, 10, 15, 20 years has travelled less than any other club in the AFL?
Well, if you talk to Kane, it was Richmond in 2020, but go on.
No, come on. Who travels less? Which club?
No, there's only one, mate. There's one club that hasn't played in Geelong for about 40 years. That'd be Collingwood.
So they have gone to opening round 2 years in a row and they've thrown the toys out of the cot and said they don't want to do it again. Mate, you travel out of Melbourne twice a year, you get stuffed.
They're coming off a five-month break.
Oh, man.
17 games at the MCG this year. Where is Kane Corns' commentary on that? Come on, man.
Yeah, well, it's only relevant when you're winning. Right?
Collingwood are winning.
You know, but when they get to the end of the season and they're winning, then the whinges will start to come out with that. But this week, fair dinkum. So I've just incorrectly stated that we should put Mansell on someone and he's not playing because he's suspended. Right? Now, we coming up with a way to defend the charge, et cetera, et cetera. And the AFL CEO comes out and actually states that another incident is not the same as this incident. There's a clear differential, right? So they've played the case out before it's even gone to the tribunal. We already know what the AFL's thoughts are. Great. It is an absolute disgrace and a clear number one this season, and I'd love your thoughts on it.
Come on, man.
I was absolutely gobsmacked when he came out and said that. Like, if all the media training they would have done, you would have thought giving your thoughts on the outcome of a tribunal hearing yet to be heard was one of the main things on the list of not to say. Like,
well, he actually gave not his thoughts on the outcome. He gave what he thought the outcome was going to be. He basically told us what the AFL had already decided. It didn't matter what we put up. It was already decided. Because Dylan said so.
It was the same argument used as was pointed out. The same argument used in the actual hearing. Yep. Who would have thought?
Yep. Yeah. Absolute disgrace.
That's going to take some beating, I reckon, in the number one spot. And as I said to you off air, EJ, we are at the 7th of April, and Andrew Dillon features twice in a list of the top five. that's how well he's going at the moment in 2025 so far.
Bring back Gomez.
Yeah. Well, there we go. No, it's a very good list. I'm liking how this is shaping up, and a very well-deserved number one spot. Absolute bullshit. But anyway, that is a wrap for tonight. Thank you, gents, for jumping on. Much appreciated. Later on in the week, there'll be the Behind Frenemy Lines. We've got a couple of Freo podcast show we're doing with them tomorrow night, hopefully. And what else we got on? We might do a live show potentially this week because we're playing in Adelaide. I'll work out logistics of that and we'll put something up if that goes ahead. Yeah, keep an eye out for that as well. But that is it for tonight. EJ, CB, thank you for jumping on, gents. Much appreciated. Yep, good chat, gents. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Make sure you like and subscribe on all the platforms we're on. Yeah, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, etc. We appreciate all the love and support. And until next Monday night, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.